Lemus Music.
Hello and welcome to Single Mommy Fabulous. We're finally back with a new episode, and we're going to be talking about power of the single mother. And today we're going to discuss the strength of the single mother. But before we begin, we would like to congratulate our runner-up for the Name That Episode contest, Amber, who inspired this episode. Amber opted to give us a statement about her relationship with her mother. It's a fitting start to this episode with her words.
So Amber's statement says, strengths of being raised by a single mother. I'd say number one was the closeness we had. While my friends lied and snuck around, I felt comfortable telling my mom anything. A lot of people would tell my mom that she couldn't be my friend and that I would turn out bad. I think it is because of our friendship that I didn't. Another big one was seeing her struggles and her motivation and dedication to taking care of us. I will never forget her sacrifices, work ethic, and long hours that she put in to make sure that we had a home and food. I look up to her for that. What a wonderful example of what one person can do alone. We never had child support. It was all on her, and she did it.
I think that's a great statement. So first, we're going to kind of discuss the negativity that surrounds single mothers. So there are societal, I don't know how to call them norms because they aren't norms. They're actually just societal judgments that single mothers face every day. One of them is that their children are more likely to become criminals. Their children aren't being parented. They're being shamed and judged and called welfare queens because apparently you can't take care of a kid if you don't have a man in the house. Right. Single mothers are moms on accident, you know, that we trap men by trying to get pregnant.
Ooh, Jesus.
That's the last thing I would ever do. That we have low quality parenting, and there's an assumption that we're going to be poor and that our children will live in poverty. And so this episode is here to dispel those rumors and to kind of encourage our moms out there who are feeling like the world hates them or judges them anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to first give my confession about the beginning of my single motherhood. When I left my husband and came home and was going to raise my kid by myself, I realized that I acted like an idiot and thought that I needed to put on a show for people. So I took off my wedding rings because I didn't want to wear them anymore. And I put on a fake wedding ring so that when I went to the doctor, they didn't get the assumption that I was a poor single mother and couldn't take care of myself. And I didn't stop people from calling me Mrs. Henley, or I didn't stop them for using the Mrs. Title. I let them do that. And I felt like being a single mother was a negative statistic, and I am all about not being a negative statistic. And it really changed and transformed the way that I saw myself. Even though I was raised by a single mother, I think I felt a lot of shame.
Mm.
Adrian, do you have any confessions you'd like to share?
Which ones? Just kidding. I guess, you know, being a single mom, it's different now that I'm older, but when Isaiah was a baby, I had a hard time, you know, people just making a lot of assumptions about me and about him. And I think the most common one was that I, well, the most, the two most common were that I was poor, on welfare type of situation, and that I had no idea who my kid's father was. And neither were true. I mean, I was broke, you know. I was
right.
Only 20 when he was born, so clearly I wasn't at the top of my game, you know, but I wasn't in poverty. And I wasn't on welfare. I never had to go on welfare, thank goodness. But you know what, damn it, if I needed to, I would have. And there's no shame in that. But yeah, and then going on, you know, as he got a little bit older and walking around and, you know, that toddler stage or whatever, then my parenting skills, you know, came into question. And I don't know what I'm doing because I'm so young. And, you know, and it's like, well, none of us know what we're doing.
Yeah, right? I still don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, until she starts crying, I'm still like, oh, wait, something might be wrong. Hold on.
Exactly. It's like, you know, I'm on my second one and I still don't know what I'm doing. So it's just, I don't know. It's just funny to me now. I mean, back then it hurt my feelings a lot. And I cried a lot about it because I thought, like, you know, how can people just be so insensitive? Or if that's the way that you feel, you know, to say that and then not offer any help or any solutions or any, you know what I mean? And just, yeah. I'm just going to talk about you and let you fend for yourself, you know? And it's just like, wait. Why
yeah,
are you doing that?
No, and that's absolutely true. Is like we've talked a lot about the mommy to mommy like judgment, and then they judge you, and they have nothing positive to say to you, and that is really super hurtful. If you don't have anything constructive to say, keep your mouth shut.
Please.
There's no reason for you to open your mouth and tell me the negative crap that you're building up on me, because you don't know what goes on in my household, and you don't know if at this moment we're having a bad moment and every other moment is sunshine and rainbows. So yeah, we could do a whole episode on keep your mouth shut.
A whole episode.
It's, you know, just moving on to like getting away from the negativity. One of the things that I thought was really, really cool about what Amber said was that her mother did it all on her own. Like, she didn't have anything. She didn't have child support. She did it all on her own. And because I was raised by a single mother who didn't have those things, it's not necessary. Any other woman, if we get the support, that's wonderful. But us not getting the support from a man is not always a bad thing. We all, you know, Adrian and I have talked about how women become single mothers, right? It's not always we slept with somebody and we got knocked up. It's, you know, none of us with a brain sit there and try to trap anybody by getting pregnant, because that's just plain not gonna
who
happen.
Who does, like, nobody would do that.
Nobody I know would do that. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there who does it, but I feel like it's for a young, immature mind who believes in that societal thing where if you get somebody pregnant, the man's supposed to marry you, which
oh,
is
gracious,
just
alive.
Out, yeah, it's outdated. And then, you know, so some of us become single parents through divorce or separations. I became a single mother because of a divorce and separation. Adrian, much the same. And I'll let her talk about her situation. I don't really want to talk about it for her. And then there is also just women who choose to have children, you know, because they've struggled with fertility and they want to have a baby and they've had their career and now they're at the end of their fertility years and they still feel like they want to mother a child. And so they adopt children or they have children on their own by going to a fertility specialist. And none of this, I want to make this absolutely clear, none of this is the wrong way to become a single mother. And there's nothing wrong with the way that any of these women have become a single mother.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And yeah. So Adrian, just like talk about how you, I mean, I know your story, but they don't.
Right. Well, so I've been a single mother twice. So So first with my son, I had him at 20. And that was just, I was not being careful and was not thinking in the moment. And boom, had a baby. The second time, 11 years later, I was married, had my daughter, and my husband passed away. So I became a single mother by way of being a widow. And you made a very interesting point, Nicole, that I kind of want to go back to about the fact that there are women that choose single motherhood on purpose. It's not just, it's not always an accident, or I don't want to say accident. That doesn't sound good, but you know what I mean? It's not always death. It's not always divorce. It's not always whatever. Sometimes Sometimes it's literally a choice that a woman has made to say, you know, I want a baby and I want to do it by myself, you know? And it's like, all of these things have to be taken into consideration. And because there's so many ways to become a mother, a single mother, excuse me, you can't make assumptions when you, you know, see a mom out with her baby, whatever. It's like, you can't make an assumption because you really don't know if the, you know, the range is so broad. And the way, you know, we as humans like to paint each other, you know, with this one line, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's insane to me. It's insane.
It is insane. It's insane that in this day and age, we're still categorizing everything and putting everything in a box, and everything has to neatly fit into what we believe to be true. You know, there's no need for the categorization, especially when it comes to parenting. The most important thing, I think, for any parent, single mother, single father, married couple, whatever, is to support their choice to parent and support their endeavors to raise good humans. Because no one sets out to raise a serial killer, okay? Right. It's just not something people do. You know, so remembering that the most important part of all parenthood and all parenting is the child is very important.
Yes.
Like, at the end of the day, the point is to get them from being an infant to adulthood without murdering them.
Right.
That's right. Really all it is. Or, you know, we can't control as much as people think we can.
Not at all.
And our parenting skills don't always need to be called into question. As I said, you know, you may see somebody with a toddler who's having a fit in the middle of Walmart and falls out, and your inclination is to be like, this woman, why, or this man, or whatever, cannot control. Child, please.
Right.
Toddlers have fits. It don't mean nothing. They have fits. Sometimes it is bad or a direct result, but 99.9% of the time, children just fall out because they're brats.
Because they can.
They do.
Yeah. You know.
Give me attention. I need attention. It's my moment, you know, and
right.
That's what they do.
That's how it goes. I remember one time I was in the, with Isaiah. He was cutting up for something or other. I don't even think he was two. And I probably told him no about something. And he literally fell onto the floor and was rolling around and just acting a complete fool. And I just was, so I'm just standing there looking at him like, I don't even know what to do at this point. And like,
right.
Some lady came, she was so sweet. She came and she was like, do you need some help? And I was like, yes. And she was like, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to deal with him? or do you want me to finish your list? And I was like, can you finish my list? And she went shopping for me so I could get him up off the floor and like take care of that, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, bless you, woman. You know, and I try to like pay that forward. So if I see, you know, parents kind of struggling, or especially with babies, you know, like you're trying to deal with a crying baby, but you have to shop at the same time. Like, bro, I'll do it. Like,
yeah.
You know, like we have to help each other instead of all this constant tearing down, you know?
Right.
Like that whole, it takes a village is not a joke. It literally does. And even though you are a single parent, it's like, you don't raise your kids alone. You know, you always have help. You have to have help. You have to have help when you're married. And you know what I mean? Like raising kids is a lot of work. It's not just, it's a lot of work. So you have to have some kind of a network to make it happen, you know? And yeah, anyway.
No, I mean, that's really key to understanding that being a parent, I mean, being in a two-parent household doesn't mean that you're not at the poverty line.
True.
Being in a, right, being with two parents doesn't mean the kid doesn't grow up to be a horrible human.
True.
None of these things are guaranteed. While it's great to have the mother and father in the home, and it doesn't guarantee perfection or better children. I know people, I know there's a million studies that say that. I do. But I have to disagree with the premise, you know?
Yeah, I disagree completely. You know, I had both my parents in the home, and while there were some benefits, it depends on the people, you know, that are doing the parenting, what kind of people they are, you know, and, my parents weren't bad people, but they were troubled people and they raised troubled adults, you know? So it's like, would that have been different? Otherwise, I don't know. I don't know. Because one of them would still be the same, right? So it's like, you know, it depends. It's not about how many people you have in the house. You know, it's about influence for sure. And that can be anybody. It doesn't have to be parents.
Yeah. Everybody's an integral part of a child. And I think that's something that we don't necessarily talk about so much in the community. We, you know, teachers may think that we think of them as the babysitter or whatever, but you're not. That's not your role. You're there to educate my child, and I appreciate you. And maybe some people feel opposite or differently, but you're a very important part of my child's growth. There are teachers that I had that had both positive and negative on me. I had a kindergarten teacher who sent me to the psychiatrist because I like to eat my clothes.
Oh my gosh, you're five.
Right. I was five. And, it was great going to the psychologist and psychiatrist. I don't remember. But she let me chew my clothes and play with dolls and talk to me about my mom. But it was never negative, I would have to say. It was never a negative experience. It was actually a quite fun experience. I enjoyed it a lot. And, you know, she was a sweet lady, and I'm glad that she came into my life. I don't know if she had any positive or negative effect because I was really young. I don't think I needed to go to see a psychiatrist, but I did get to drink coffee every morning just because coffee does the opposite to children.
Right.
So hoping that my hyperactivity would go down a bit. And I wasn't even that damn hyperactive, girl. I'm lazy. How hyperactive can I be?
Wow.
You know, I'm not that lazy, but you know what I mean. So it's important to realize, like you said, that there are so many people that have an effect. Your children's friends, your children's this and that. And so being a single mother, you control your destiny and how you want to parent and who you want to be and who you want your children to see. And that's all you can control.
That's it.
Everything else is what it is. It is what it is. I mean, I can't, you know, do your best, parent your best, and call it good. You know what I mean?
Cross your fingers.
And cross your fingers. And, you know, don't be afraid to better yourself. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to be on welfare if that's what happens.
Yes.
And especially now that we're in this horrible recession, we're all struggling. And you know what? There's nothing negative that I can say about your struggle. Your struggle is your struggle. Find the help that you need to get through your struggle.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really what I wanted to say about that. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my mother and who I was raised by and how she became a single mother, because I think it's an important story. My mom and dad got married because they got pregnant with me. Always a bad idea. Don't marry somebody just because you got pregnant.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works out, but for the most part, because divorce statistics are the way they are, I would say that there's just no reason to marry somebody that you don't absolutely love and want to partner with. So my parents were married. Yeah. And my father, I don't know if he was a drug addict and alcoholic prior to them being together, but my father was a classic alcoholic and drug abuser, and did things like steal my mom's car and have it stripped and all this shit that he put my mother through. And she recently told me that the reason she finally kicked him to the curb was because she was going to get kicked out of graduate school. So she kicked my dad to the curb, divorced him, and proceeded to be probably one of the greatest single mothers there is. You know, my mom is super accomplished. She joined the military to make sure that, even though she was a nurse, she wanted to make sure that we had a great experience. So she joined the military, and she she's very strong. She's not the most touchy-feely emotional human that I would have wanted as a mother, but her strength is something that I admire, and her ability to pick herself up and move on is something that I admire. And when I look at myself and don't think that I can move on and do something, it's my mother's strength that tells me, yes, you can, because look, your mother did it, raising two children on her own and choosing things that made your life better. Because, you know, my mother left my father and kept him out of my life until I was old enough to make my own decision, which is a really tough decision for a single mother to make.
Absolutely.
To say, I'm not. Because everybody's going to tell you that the man needs it. Dude, if the man is a drug addict and isn't getting help, he does not belong in your life. If he has issues that he is not addressing, he doesn't belong in your life. He doesn't belong in your children's life.
Right.
Okay. You can say, no, you can't be a part of my child's life and not be wrong about your choice.
Absolutely.
You know, so I told my story because I want women who are single mothers to be empowered by the idea that you're not doing anything wrong if the man's not there, and not being a father, because the damage that a half-assed man can do is a lot worse than him not being there. Allowing my dad lived in the south of France most of my life, because that's what I told people, and he, you know, he was James Bond or some shit. I don't know. But, you know, it's okay. It's okay because in the end, as I think about my life, I'm okay. I have a great life. I have a great family. My dad just wasn't a part of my story, and that's okay.
Right.
And it will be a challenge. Believe me, if the man is not involved at all whatsoever, you will get the children who are like, well, where's my dad? Mm-hmm. And why didn't you work out? And da 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 da. And my advice, be as honest as you can for them.
Yes, please. Please, please, please.
Yeah. And, you know, because my mom, I think it was when I was about 5 when she finally just was like, dude, your father is a drunk and a drug addict, which I hardly understood. And he's just no good for you. He lies to you. He doesn't come through on things. I can't have that for you. So.
Right.
Here we are. And so I appreciate her candor. And she was absolutely right. Because when I met him, I learned that my mom knew all. So
whatever. You're always right.
The moms are they're really smart. It's kind of crazy. You know, as we kind of wrap up what we're talking about, I just wanted to leave us with a very positive energy. So I wanted to focus on the very positive access, the very positive aspects of single motherhood. What I did some research, and one of the first is that there is no negotiations in your household over parenting, because parenting style can differ and children will manipulate the parent who's soft.
Yes, they will.
I
tell you what, I am living that difference. Isaiah's father was around. He was the fun parent.
Yeah.
And it's always a problem. He was a good dad. Don't get me wrong. Is a good dad, you know. Don't get me wrong. You know, he was with Isaiah as much as he could. But he was the fun parent. And every time Isaiah came home from his house, we'd have to spend a good 2 days unlearning the bad habits he had learned over at his dad's house. And now with Kalia, I don't have another influence. I mean, there's other influences, but it's more when I say so and not just, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I see the difference, man. It's like, I don't have to go back and forth with somebody, and I don't have to explain why I think it should be this way. And I don't have to, you know what I mean? Like it's hard because sometimes I would like, a differing opinion because I don't always get it right. And I don't always know that I'm doing the right thing. So sometimes I miss that, but then most of the times I don't.
Exactly. And another thing that you brought up, I mean, like fights over parenting can just add to the acrimony in the house. And that was one of the things. There's no acrimony in your household when you're doing it alone, you know, unless you choose to bring another person into that relationship. But parents who are fighting are no good for kids. It's not good for children to watch anger in their life and in their world. So the positive is you're doing it on your own, and there's no anger unless you bring it in. It's all on you.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how I grew up, just constant arguing and yelling and slamming things. That. Yeah, it just is very stressful. Very stressful.
Nobody needs that crap. And I'm trying to learn not to be such a hothead because I am. And I think I get that from my daddy. And then the other, which is absolutely my favorite, and Amber talked about it, is the bond that you have that is really close with your child. Because they're with you all the time and you get to hug and kiss and do whatever. And, you know, it does contribute to this closeness that you may not experience if you have two parents that they're trying to figure out and, you know, go back and forth. You get to know their day and whatever else because you're there and you're present. And it's kind of nice, that feeling of being close to your child.
Yeah. And you don't have to split your, or the kid like doesn't have to split their time.
Right.
You know, like if they're just always with you. And
yeah,
like you're bound to be close if you're always around each other all of the time, you know.
Yeah. And this is not to knock you ladies out there who have 50-50 things going on.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I want to add a little disclaimer in here. Uh-huh. We are fully aware that if you are co-parenting, you can absolutely be close with your child. We are not stating otherwise. We're just not talking about y'all right now. We're talking about single parents right now. But we are very aware that there are a multitude of co-parenting parents who are close with their children. And we love that too.
Exactly. Because, you know, being a co-parent means that you guys are developing your relationships with your child separately. And so I can see how that's beneficial for both of you as parents. Because you're not having to deal with your dynamic with your significant other. You're just dealing with your dynamic with your child. So yes, as Adrian said, we're not saying you're not going to have that closeness. We're just saying that, you know, we wanted to know that we weren't throwing you under the bus.
Right. We love you too.
We love you too. Exactly. And one of the best things about, I think, being a single mother is that you are displaying this independence that they may not have seen otherwise, where you are in control of your finances. You're in control of what goes on in the household. You're in control of your career. And, you know, there are many studies that seeing your mother work is really good for you. And when you grow up, and I kind of agree with that, when you see mothers achieving, things, it is like, wow, you know what my mom did? My mom, you know, I actually had this experience. My mom went and got a doctorate the same year I got my high school diploma. So that is just like, you get to brag on your mom and her accomplishments and that. And all kids would probably do that regardless, but they get this independent view of you as a human being. And so take that with you and understand that there is such a powerful message in that.
Yes.
And so we love you, single moms. We really do. We also, and we love all parents, but single moms especially. Because we can do it all. We can be it all. And we can be amazing parents. And we can raise amazing children who are simply fabulous, and nobody's going to stop us. We're awesome.
Boom. So today we also have guests who were also raised by single mothers. We have Isaiah, who is my baby, and Christina, who is my niece. And they are going to answer a couple of questions for us and tell us about their experience being raised by single mothers. The first question, guys, is, did you ever feel like you were missing something? Christina, let's start with you.
Okay. Missing some, wait, can you hear me? Okay. Yeah. Missing something, I guess. Well, that's really vague, I guess. Missing something like emotionally or...
Yeah, like emotionally or otherwise. I mean, did you feel like you were missing anything by not have, in the time that you didn't have a father around, did you feel like you were missing anything because of that?
No, I can say the initial answer is no. Why I hesitated is because, well, thinking about it, obviously, you know, I was physically in a way missing something because I didn't have another parent. But why I say no overall is because I just felt as though that I didn't, for some reason. I don't know if that makes sense, but my mom, I can say personally for my mom, she made sure that I had everything, and she gave me all of my needs, and I just feel as though you may need, you know, another parent, or like two parents to balance you out emotionally. But for myself, I was fine. I'm fine. And I'm doing fine. And I'm successful. So,
okay. What about you, Isaiah?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I guess, no, in the sense that looking back at it, I don't feel as though I missed out on anything, but I think in the moment there's a lot of like longing for like a typical household with, you know, a father and a mother. And I feel like I did not have that all the time or in a typical way. But I don't, like I said, like looking back at it, I don't feel like I missed out. Just in the moment, I remember feeling like I wish I could have that and being like envious of other kids who did.
Right.
But I don't think that it made, I don't think that it mattered in the grand scheme of things.
Got you. Well, then to that same, it's kind of like on the flip side, do you feel like your mom, me, tried to overcompensate because of that, or, you know, because your dad wasn't in the home?
I don't think so. I mean, my perspective on the way that I was raised is that there just wasn't time for that. And I don't think that there was any additional time for you or my dad to kind of overcompensate or find missing links. It was just, this is the situation and we're going to make the best out of what we have. And that's exactly how I would describe my upbringing, is it was absolutely the best of what y'all could have done for me. So I don't think so, no. And I think that both you, especially as a single mom, but even my father as in some way a single father, were never ashamed or were embarrassed to be that role. And to me, I was able to be proud of each of you because of how proud you appeared to me. So no, I would not say that.
Okay, I'll take that. What about you, Christina? Sorry.
I just adding on to what Isaiah was saying. Also, when he was saying as though, you know, he doesn't feel as though that he had, he felt as though that he didn't lose anything or whatever. Like, well, but just jumping on to what he was saying, you, and I can say for my mother too, both of you, it was never really just put on us, because it's just like it was something that everybody was going through, you know. Like, so let me explain myself. So us not having another parent in the household, father figure, it was never you both putting that on us, like feeling that pressure. So it was just always, okay, you know, you both my mom, you know, made sure that I had what I needed and stuff like that. So it was just never like, it was never a thing of, oh, it's your fault or whatever. Like, it was just never that.
Oh, I see.
Because some kids go through that, you know, just like the parents putting everything on the child. So I've never experienced none of that. So that is very good. Because, well, yeah, like I was saying before, yeah, it's like, it's no one's problem, and you know, we're all going through it, but it's mainly what kind of you were going through, well, like being the parent in a way.
So like you're saying, like, because of how she handled the situation, you didn't feel any added stress, any added pressure, any like stuff like that.
No, because it was just like, okay, and I was given the space to feel how I wanted to feel. It was never any forced feelings that I had to have. It was just, it was a realization, and there were talks. It was a safe space, you know, to Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting point that I didn't think of about, you know, the possible emotional aspect of missing a parent. And like you were saying, Isaiah, like having a longing for the other parent to be in the house. And that's cool, Teeny, that you, excuse me, I'd call Christina Teeny. Okay. You know, that you said that you had the space to feel all those feelings. And so maybe you did, maybe not miss him per se, but miss, you know, that aspect of having two parents and to be able to express that and feel heard. I think that's really important to point out. I think that's something that as single parents, maybe we miss and don't consider that. So that's, thank you guys for saying that. And Teeny, to you, do you feel like your mom tried to overcompensate because your dad was wherever he was?
No, there was no, well, technically there was a hole that was filled because, you know, there's a parent that was, you know, not present, but it wasn't, no, it was just what it was. We dealt with it and we got through it.
Cool. And the last question I want to ask you guys is, in what ways do you feel like, I mean, you may not have necessarily paid attention when you were little, because both of you all, well, I should say me and my sister, both got married when you guys were small. So, but maybe thinking back, what ways do you think, or did you, yeah, what ways do you think that your mom's maybe showed strength in this type of situation? You know, did you feel like they were, you know, I guess strong would be the word, I guess. I don't, yeah. Like, in what ways did you feel like you felt or saw or recognized strength in them?
Like, yeah, like just like in single motherhood or like?
In single motherhood, yeah.
I mean, I just think that there's like so much strength in just existing. Like, to be a single mother in the world is to, honestly, I think it's revolutionary. It's to exist in opposition to expectation. And I think that that is a very strong thing to do. It is raising a child on your own. I mean, the definition of it is to do it on your own or to do it with somebody that's not a spouse or a man. And I don't know. I think for me as a child, it was very obvious to see that the way that my family looked was not like other people, and that was something to be proud of. And I think like something that I talk about all the time is just like, you know, especially me going to school, like something that I reference all the time is I just remember having to go to class with you or having to see you stay up at night and study after work and taking care of us and like never taking that sacrifice for granted, especially now looking back and just how hard it had to have been. And it just makes me proud to be who I am and where I am because I come from that, you know, and there's strength in all of that. And that's something specific, but I think all encompassing, like I said, there is strength in just existing in opposition to expectation.
That is a good point. And I never would have considered that. Yeah. In the opposition of expectation. Yeah, that's a good point. Teeny, how do you feel? How do you feel your mom was, showed her strength?
Just by, also probably another segue, just by being, just by being and living through what she had went through. Because, you know, like I said before, although, you know, we are both going through the same thing, you know, just me being a kid and then also her being the parent and, you know, she's going through what I'm going through. So, kind of emotionally wise, but yeah, I would just say just being there, being consistent, pushing through because it's a choice at the end of the day to do the things that you do and to be a parent. It's a choice to be a parent. So it was her choice to dedicate her life and her time to be two parents in one.
Got you. Well, that is just beautiful. And I'm so glad you guys shared. Is there anything about your experience growing up that you feel like you want to share? You don't have to, but just opening up the opportunity if you feel like you have something else to add.
Yes. I just wanted to say shout out to all the motherfucking single mommies of the world. Y'all literally run this shit, period. We would not, none of us would be here today without the wonderful, strong women, especially the single mommies. And we're just going to take a space right now and shout them out. And if you're a single mommy, I want you to put your hand in the air and just because, yes. Right.
My hands up, hey.
We love you. We see you. We hear you. You doing it, period.
I dig it so completely. Well, thank you guys for joining us on this podcast episode. We so appreciate you. And, you know, we just wanted to offer a perspective from those that have lived it and not just our own, because we can say a whole lot of stuff, but their experience validates our experience as single parents. So I want to thank you for coming on the show. I'm so excited about this. And thank you so much for your perspective.
So we're glad that everybody joined us again for a new episode, and we are looking forward to our next couple of episodes and celebrating Women's History Month with you. Yes. So yes, so there will be Instagram spam about women this month. So sorry, not year. There will be Instagram spam about women this month, and we hope that you will join in our fun talking about herstory, not history, herstory.
Hello.
Hello. So thanks again for listening, and until next time, stay fabulous.
Stay fabulous.